B-Pod Studios.
They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv. Twitch app, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Subscribe to that. Rich, what's going on?
So, Fred, Spotify just launched something that's called the Billions Club. It is a new playlist that features only songs that have been streamed over a billion times. There's over 150 songs on it. And if you take a quick glance at it, you'll obviously see, you know, several Bieber songs, The Weeknd, Drake. But then there's like some classic ones that just made it over the hump. I mean, think about it. First of all, if you're a newer song and you've hit a billion, that's impressive. But if you're like an older song that's got over a billion, like when people have already like bought your album.
And there's no one pushing it, and there's no one trying to sway the algorithm so it goes into one direction. Yeah, like the new songs, I don't believe a billion people played them. I mean, the record company has to have figured out a way. They'd be really stupid not to, have figured out an algorithm to get it on your front screen.
But so. That's even crazy, you know, even to get a billion. But I mean, but like legit, like I'm looking at, I see on this list, like if you could just name one song that was like older than 10 years old, that would be on the billions list. Like what would you think was on there?
All right. On the billions list,
like, that's omnipresent, like during our life, something that's just.
Don't Stop Believing.
That is definitely on the list. That is one of them that's on there. Can you think of another one from that era that has there has been a resurgence because a band covered it?
Africa by Toto.
That is on there as well. Also on the list, Wonderwall by Oasis. I think Queen has like three songs on there.
Yeah, Fat Bottom Girls.
No, not
under,
that one.
Under Get Pressure. Box,
rat. No, not Under Pressure.
What is the deal with the bicycle? Like, what are they doing there? What is exactly happening with the I mean, that is a band that is universally loved enough to have a documentary made about them. And I understand their lead singer died of a tragic disease, and that it lends to the legend. But why is it so unexplored?
Bicycle.
Like, what's going on there?
And he goes, "Was it? I never saw Jaws, and I don't like Star Wars."
But at least that makes sense. Like, but the thing, bicycle, and he goes, "Fat Bottom Girls." No,
Two different songs. It's Fat Bottom Girls and Bicycle.
I know,
two
different songs. But what I'm saying is that why is this all unexplored? Like they don't make any sense, Queen.
See, Fat Bottom Girls is a good song. Bicycle's a mess.
Yeah, I know, but it says I want to ride my... Like, what's the deal with that? Like, are we supposed to just take that at face value and just go, they wrote a song about riding a bike around?
I think sometimes when bands write a bunch of great songs, they, like, have one that's just, like, really weird and annoying, and the producer goes, sure, fine, put it on. It's like Mother by the Police, you know? That's
well, they had to let Andy Summers...
That was just a lot of screaming, you know, that song.
Like Rats by Pearl Jam. Rats in my head, rats in my bed, rats everywhere.
Bicycle, bicycle. Yeah. Bicycle.
I want to ride. This song's kind of jam. It's not bad.
Yeah, no, but what's going on? What's the deal?
The lyrics are weird.
It's like theater guy. He's just being theater.
All right.
Yeah, I don't understand really what's going on here, though. And also, Bohemian Rhapsody doesn't make any sense either.
That's a great song.
I can't stand Bohemian Rhapsody, but a lot of people can't. Yeah. A lot of people
can't.
No
one really liked it until Wayne's World came out. Seriously.
That is true.
And the only reason they put it in there is because it didn't have enough time in the movie to fill up 90 minutes. So they filmed that, and that got them closer.
Yeah, that's not a song I like, but... It's also it's supposed to be sad, and then this whole story falls apart at the end.
It just goes all the wrong direction.
Yeah, like he's like, I killed this guy, and then all of a sudden it doesn't make any sense. I don't get what's going on with that. All right.
So also on that list are ones like Lose Yourself by Eminem, randomly Pumped Up Kicks by Foster the People, which that's okay. I didn't know. So maybe I like that band, but that song is not very good. But I looked on this list, and there are a couple that stood out that are in the, once again, if you've been streamed a billion times, whether it's an algorithm or not, this is probably a song that even at the grocery store or just somewhere by accident, you would go, okay, I know that.
All right.
So I found five songs, Fred, and I want to see if you can name either the artist or just tell me whether you've heard this song, okay?
Okay. All right.
All right, let's start with song. Remember, this is a song that's been streamed a billion times, okay. Over a billion times on Spotify.
I'm turning up my headphones. Here we go.
Okay, let's go to number one.
Is this Tina Cherry? Oh, that's a porn star. Is this... is this Tina Marie?
That's Loverboy. That's way back.
This is... you just did... What you just did with your mouth, you could have told me that was you. No, there's no algorithm. There's nothing. There's nothing to see here. A billion people loved it. No, nothing to see here. No, it's the greatest. No. Old man, you don't get it. A billion people love this. No. All right, okay. Well,
Christmas time.
She allowed someone in her vagina that is very powerful because that is a terrible, terrible, terrible song that I've never heard before.
That is a song called Dance Monkey by Tones and I.
Okay, are they from like China or somewhere?
Australia, I think.
Oh, okay, that doesn't count then.
No, hang on. Australia is not like a huge
listening
country.
That's what I'm saying.
This isn't something like, oh, wow.
Like China.
It's like a Latin song,
right?
Like an entire you know, different language
continent.
Loves.
Yeah, like a continent of people. Like, yeah, this is like that you just don't know about. Yeah, no, that's garbage, and it's from Australia, which doesn't count because Australia is the same as the U.S.
So that has been streamed over a billion times.
Okay.
Like, I mean, even more than something like "Don't Stop Believing," which is fascinating. All right, have you heard or can you name the artist on this song?
Is there some helium scene that's going on that I'm unaware of?
It's helium pop.
No, I've never heard this song. I've never heard of it in my entire life.
Crap.
You've never heard the song Deathbed Coffee for Your Head by Pow Fu, and I'm not making this name up, Biba Doobie.
Now, is that like a Far Eastern thing? Is that like K-pop or some situation I'm unaware of?
Hang on. Let me see. Pow Fu and Biba Doobie.
That might
Canadian.
Be...
Canadian.
Okay, so it doesn't count. No. Yeah, right. There's no algorithm. No. That enough people just went, this is it. What are you going to do tonight? I got to clean my room. I'm going to put on the new Bebop a Doobie album.
It's Biba Doobie, not Bebop.
Yeah, Biba Doobie's album and really clean up here. Yeah, everyone loves that song. It's the greatest. Streaming's all on the level. Believe everything you read. Okay.
All right.
People won't take the vaccine, yet they believe there's a billion downloads of these garbage songs. Okay.
Right. I just found the music video. Oh, my God. The music video has over 367 million views.
Uh-huh.
Bebop a Doobie.
Yes, sure.
I've never even heard it. Okay. Can you recognize or do you know this artist?
Yeah, we played it on Is It a Band or a Race?
I was just
going
to say. Lantern Waste, of course.
Yeah, exactly. It's the whatever, Barton Fartscasey or whatever the hell the name of it was.
Barton Scorsese. That is a song called Jocelyn Flores by, I don't even know how you pronounce this person's name, but it is all in uppercase letters. XXXTentacion.
Oh, yeah. All right, I know who that guy is. That guy's dead.
He's got like three songs.
Yeah, yeah. He was a massive phenomenon and then died very young. So
because of music like that?
He was like an emo I'm going to sound so old, but like he was like an emo, like he talked about like depression and stuff. I mean, he beat the hell out of women too. He was a terrible person. But he like talk, yeah, he would talk about depression and stuff, and then he had this huge online following, and yeah, he was like internet huge.
Somebody said the sample from Bebop and Doobie, she's a pretty legit indie artist. Well, why not? Everyone
well,
loves
that
Bebop and Doobie.
What does that mean? She's an indie artist. Great. Well, okay. now I like it. That's how people's brains work. Oh, now I like it. Okay.
Have you heard or do you know this song?
Oh, I think that I found myself a cheerleader. She is always right there when I need her.
Yes, it's Teenage Dirtbag.
She's like a doobie in a bottle.
So I've actually heard that song before. I was in a cab in Vegas, and I was like, are they playing a joke on me right now? That's a song called Cheerleader by OMI that apparently a billion people seem to want to listen to.
Yeah. Again, no.
Someone said they're all these helium pop songs streaming out of North Macedonia, Fred. That's why you're not aware of it.
That's right.
Oh, hang on a hand. Breaking news. Breaking news.
Yep,
play the sounder. It's worthy of the sounder. Play the sounder.
I got it.
Peeing from my butt. No, this
is legitimate.
Legit
I got this.
Breaking news. Break it. Come on.
I got it.
This
it's legitimate.
Is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5,
right.
The Sports Hub.
Well, we were wondering if the Celtics were going to trade Kemba Walker, and they have. This is a Woj bomb. Celtics are trading Kemba Walker, the number 16 overall pick in this year's draft, and a second-round pick in 2025 to Oklahoma City for Al Horford, Moses Brown, and a second-round pick in 2023.
How exciting.
Worth it. Worth it. Worth it. To get rid of that contract, giving up your number 16 pick when your drafting hasn't been that great anyway, worth it. Awesome. Free up some space. Get some money loose out there. I got no problem with this trade whatsoever.
And you remember that...
Well, be on your best behavior. Al Horford's sister is going to have something to say.
That's a very, very good point. Now, Horford, in case you're wondering, has, let's see, 2 more years left on his contract at $27 and $26 million.
But now, can he play anymore?
Yes, he can.
Okay.
Oklahoma City, he's 34, but...
Because he didn't play at the end of the season,
well,
right?
Oklahoma City sat him down specifically to tank so they could get a high draft pick.
Okay. Yeah.
That was what that was about. He still has miles left on him. He gives you the shooting with size that you wanted, and you're out from under the Kemba contract.
And Danny told us, he didn't name names, but by a process of deduction, you could figure out who he was talking about, that Al Horford, ever since he left and, of course, got his money, has basically been miserable and wished he could be back in Boston.
Well, listen, so, there's one black guy. We can all hang our hats
on
that.
But you saw this happen with the Bruins and Backus. The Celtics included the first-round draft pick.
I am aware of what they did.
Kemba,
I'm aware that Oklahoma City is a dumping ground now. If I'm Kemba Walker, a hot dog, you got your wish. You got off the Celtics.
Oklahoma City, congratulations.
Yeah, on an Oklahoma City team where they played a game against the Celtics, which they won, where I legitimately, and I follow college basketball, had legitimately not heard of anyone on that team.
Yep.
Including the kid that was 7'1", like 175 pounds.
Pokuševski, yes.
Yes.
They had Lukens Dort. Remember that? That was the only one guy. But yes, it gives Oklahoma City yet another first-round draft pick, and it gets them. They didn't want Al Horford, and Kemba Walker, based on the story we heard last week, didn't want to be here anymore.
And on top of that, you got out of those last two massive years of Kemba Walker's contract of a guy who could barely play anyway. So I know that Al Horford, by the way, is a lot less than Kemba Walker's contract, so you're going to free up some money. But on top of that,
Moses Brown makes it a little bit closer.
But at least you have bodies that can play.
Yes.
Well, it's not... The
Moses Brown's pretty good,
world.
Right? I got to look up his stuff.
He was on Oklahoma City. There's no way he's pretty good.
I think he actually did
pretty
very
good.
Well. He's averaged close to a double-double. 8 points, 9
good.
Rebounds a game.
Okay, how many minutes?
Not many. He averaged 21 minutes a game last year.
For Oklahoma City?
Yes.
So, yeah.
And he still averaged a double-double?
He was a starter.
Yeah. Okay.
Hard to remember that because you were looking saying, who the hell are these guys?
How tall is he?
Moses Brown is 7'2".
Yeah, okay.
Wow.
So he sucks. You know how hard getting a double-double is when you're 7'2 on Oklahoma City?
Only playing 20 minutes a night? That's not bad.
You're going to, so let's remember this. You're on the record saying Moses Brown is going to contribute to the Boston Celtics.
I know. I'm saying those numbers are not bad. I'm
they're,
not saying they're
going to
be
horrible
a game changer
for a team that there's no one else and he's 7 foot two. So what? Hey, you get nine rebounds by accident.
What do the Celtics need? The size. They need size more than anything.
Well, they already have a 7 foot two guy that doesn't play.
7'5".
Seven five.
Guy who doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, they already have a set, so they're going to have. Well, listen, look out, advertising world.
Here's the thing, and again, you wouldn't remember this, but Moses Brown had 21 points and 23 rebounds in a game against the Celtics last year.
Well, of course, I would remember that. That was inexcusable. Like that was a loss.
That was a loss at OKC.
I'll tell you. It's very exciting. How long is this Moses Brown under contract?
I don't have the answer for you. I know that was his second year in the league and his second different team. I mean, he wasn't a high draft pick. As a matter of fact, he wasn't drafted at all.
So again, pointing to his excellence. All right. Well,
so that means Tristan Thompson's more than likely gone too, right?
I don't think they have any intention of playing this kid, Rich. I think that this is.
I think that he's going to get time. I think they need someone right now down low. He's not. It doesn't sound like a world beater, but it also doesn't sound like a bad thing that you got for getting rid of something you needed to do.
It sounds like they got a guy who wanted to be here in Horford, and they had to take the 7 foot two kid to, in order to even out the salaries. Is what it sounds like to me.
I'd actually like to take a look here in a minute. Maybe we'll come back and maybe we get one of our insiders on the phone real quick.
Sure. This again is not. I'm a little disappointed. This is not
that they got rid of Kemba.
Deal.
Oh, this is
but
huge.
For matching salaries.
I think Fred's close to the truth. Look, Moses Brown could help off the bench. Whatever, he started for a bad team last year. You got a guy who wanted to be here. You replaced a guy who didn't want to be here with a guy who wanted to play here and a guy who's a fan favorite.
And healthy bodies. Healthy bodies.
Yes. Al Horford and Moses Brown will probably be available every game for you. Yes. That's correct.
Hooray.
Now, it doesn't bring the Celtics any closer to a championship.
No.
It's a nice deal. You made a nice one. It's, for lack of a better phrase, trash for trash. You know what I'm saying?
I love Adam Jones. He just tweeted, bring back Isaiah.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't laugh.
Exactly. Matching deals. All right. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And that's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What song was this a sample to?
I heard the. I can shake your rump?
No, Professor, what do they think they call Private Treasure?
Call it Booty. Booty. That's what it is.
Well, if you're just joining us, shocking news. Shocking news! Across the NBA, I contend that this is shenanigans nonsense, but listen, what do I know? Chris Forsberg can help put it in some perspective. The Celtics, it's the headline on ESPN, so what do I know? It says the Celts send Kemba to Thunder in a trade. Kemba Walker wanted to leave Boston, so he gets to go to beautiful Oklahoma City in a package that includes Al Horford, along with Walker and the 16th overall pick in 2021, the Celtics are also sending a 2025 second-round pick to the Thunder in exchange for Horford, Moses Brown, and a 2023 second-rounder. So there is no... Oh, there is a first-rounder. Walker and the 16th overall is what they're sending, along with a 2025 second-round pick. And the Thunder are giving the Celtics the great Al Horford, the great Moses Brown.
Mm-hmm. 7 foot 2 inch center.
Absolutely.
This is all about getting rid of that $73 million that was owed to Kemba Walker.
But these contracts seem to match up a little bit. Like
Moses Brown wasn't making as much as I thought he was. The trade goes through, but the Celtics get more financial flexibility.
How much?
This is not a move that's going to make them contenders. They just have a little bit more wiggle room to add another player.
All right. Chris Forsberg, he is Johnny on the spot. He's there when these life-altering deals get done. And he's from, of course, everyone loves him on NBC Sports Boston, and he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Chris, all right, well, break it down, baby. Just you do your thing.
So the main thing is, as you guys have been saying, is the financial flexibility. And pretty much because Al Horford's final year of his deal is only partially guaranteed, it makes it a little bit easier to either cut bait or move him.
Nice.
And so you're putting yourself in position where you can explore getting a new third star sooner. You know, I think, what is it, $28 million this year? So it's a little bit less than Kemp, but it'll help with the salary, with the luxury tax concerns. And, you know, depending on what happens with Al, I assume he's going to be here. I don't think they can turn around and make another deal quickly. But, you know, there will be other shoes that drop here. You know, there's a familiarity with Al. I think we know they were missing a little bit of a at that center position, especially after dealing away Tice. And you can't rely right now, even though I love Robert Williams, you need some extra depth there to have Al to play 4-5 and to get Moses Brown, who had like 19 rebounds in a first half against you earlier this season. It's at least pieces that fit a puzzle. I don't love giving up draft capital when to get off a contract, but if this puts you back in the running for another superstar to put next to the Jays sooner, then it might be worthwhile.
Bomani Jones, the great Bomani Jones, is saying that Brad Stevens said to Danny Ainge not to sign Kemba Walker.
No, I think he's mocking. He's saying that's going to be the excuse now that he's gone. Well, I never wanted him. I think that I don't think he's saying that's, he's not quoting Brad Stevens, I don't believe.
Oh, okay.
I think he's just saying, I don't
get what he's doing then.
It's not very funny.
I don't get that at all. It's not funny, nor is it.
It's now that he's the GM, he's getting rid of Kemba Walker, and he's trying to, I told Danny not to sign him. That's his joke. Yeah. Bomani joke.
Why is that a joke?
I don't know.
I thought there was some quote. We just had a guy on that said Bill Russell convinced Kyrie Irving that the Celtics suck.
But that's also a guy who sat down next to Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. I mean, we there's news about, well, Jesus.
Told Danny not to sign him. The second Danny's gone, I got rid of him.
Well, look at me. I'm the idiot. Bomani Jones is a genius.
Yeah. All right, so Chris, Moses Brown, kind of give us a little bit about, like, what you think he's going to bring to this team. I mean,
remember him at UCLA? No.
All I know is that he's huge. And you're right, he did dominate the Celtics, but that's not really saying much the last time they played each other.
Yeah, no, I think he's a maybe third, fourth center and gives you some size that you probably need and is going to be cheap. He was on a two-way deal the day he torched the Celtics, and then they signed him to a full contract. Again, that's more just to make the salaries work in this deal. But again, it's a player that does have some value at the end of your bench and someone that has performed well in front of you. Those things matter. But the bigger thing here is just the salaries. And, you know, to kind of bring it full circle, when they signed Kemba, we all knew it was a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction. You just watched Al walk away to the Sixers. You just watched Kyrie Irving depart. And the Celtics needed a little bit more star power. But in that moment, I think they thought the Jays were a little further out in how long it would take them to ascend to all-star status. It happened very quickly. In fact, by the time Kemba started dealing with those knee issues in January 2020, you know, then Tatum makes the leap to all-star and straight to all-NBA. Jaylen Brown is right behind him, starting his sort of ascent there in the bubble. And I think we all looked at it and said, is this the right fit? A pick-and-roll point guard who, you know, doesn't create well for others and needs the ball in his hands when those touches need to start going to Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So they were going to hit a point here where they had to make a decision. I actually thought they'd see it through a little bit further, but I'm wondering if they thought even if Kemba started to play better, the cost to get off that contract was still going to be, you know, going to take something. And so you just swallow hard on that 16th pick and try to get to that spot quicker where you have financial flexibility.
Okay, so real quick, just once again clarify for me. You're saying that, so Al Horford has 2 years left on his contract, but the second year is something that the Celtics can get out of?
So essentially, I'll have to look up what the guaranteed number is. It's been so long since I've gone through this, but I want to say something like only 18 of the, you know, $28 million or $30 million, whatever the number is guaranteed. So, you know, there are ways you could stretch the final year of that, spread out the cap hit over 3 years, and you know, it's not as hurtful in the moment. You could, you know, try to trade them as an expiring. Again, it's not as prohibitive as Kemba's contract would have been at $34 million that year. There's all sorts of ways you can maneuver here, especially if you deal him now, you know, or at some point this season. It's easier to get off that contract than it would have been to get off Kemba. And so if a player becomes available that you want, or, you know, you're trying to make a trade with a team and you say, well, you know, you're going to take on Al's contract, but you can get out of it again for less value than you would have otherwise. So it's a matter of flexibility. I also can't, you know, I assume Brad likes the idea of having Al Horford back and running high posts through him. And if he's got something left in the tank, then maybe he can be something on this year's team, but it just does give you options. And but there is clearly more shoes to fall in terms of what they do from here.
Chris, I'm wondering if Brad even replaces Kemba's role as a scoring point guard, or he just says, you know what, I have a guy in Peyton Pritchard who's a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. Just start him, and he'll defer to the two Jays, and we're fine.
Well, I wonder what this means for Marcus Smart. You know, like, if Marcus Smart is here, he can be your pass-first point guard. You know, you have to, again, remind Marcus that the shots go to the Jays.
Exactly. That was my point. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, and maybe you are comfortable. I do think, you know, in general, they need, at least down the road, it would be ideal to have a first-unit point guard who has some size, who creates, whose primary ability is to distribute and create opportunities for the Jays, maybe who can be a little bit of a spot up shooter. You know, that's why when we were talking about trade deadline acquisitions, a lot of us defaulted to Lonzo Ball, because, you know, just sort of the ideal prototype to put next to those two. And now Ball is a restricted free agent this summer. I don't think the Celtics have the means and the resources to do something like that, but that's the sort of player model that I think you want at that position. And so, you know, they've got to decide on Marcus. Are they paying him his next deal? But, you know, this is all part of the equation, and you've still got a year to figure that out with Marcus under contract at a reasonable number. I'm a little surprised that they moved this quick, because this was sort of like one of those trades that we all sat there and said kind of makes sense, but, you know, they moved quick, so clearly they're the plan in mind.
All right, well, Chris Forsberg, it is exciting. You can hear Chris and all the up-to-date Celtics news on NBC Sports Boston. Thank you so much for the time.
So much for a quiet summer weekend.
I know. You're going to be working.
Monday or a Tuesday.
You're going to be working double overtime. Well, Chris, the public demands it. They need to know.
I am here for the public. I appreciate it. RIP my tea time.
All right, there you go.
Chris Thanks, Chris. Chris well, okay, so that is a nice nugget out of all of this, is that essentially Chris told us this enables the Celtics to get a high-dollar third player sooner, because it looks like, well, first of all, Al Horford's for less money than Kemba Walker per year by, what, about like $6, $7 million. But then that second year, which is his last year, only half of that is guaranteed. So you would be able to free up that money, or you'd be able to move him. But either way, you are able to make a bigger splash sooner than you thought, which right now time is of the essence, because you now got these guys locked in like Jalen and Jason. So let's see. So yeah, that makes the deal even better for me.
All right. Right, Rich, we got the stat coming up. What are we going to talk about?
Massachusetts is getting one of the worst festivals ever. And when people go viral for not eating that much.
All right. Well, very good. That's the, oh yeah. Yeah. I know this. Yeah, what the hell's up with that guy? Hey, Fatso, eat.
We have to talk about
that. All right, yeah, we do. All right, good. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Talking about the game is no game.
You were listening. You were enjoying the talk.
Toucher and Rich.
That's wordplay, my friends.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Kevin Walker got traded for Al Horford. It's a bunch of trash all going moving around. And Johnny is losing his mind. By the way, there's a highlight of Kemba Walker on TV where they count the bucket. He might have taken legitimately six steps. he picks up the ball and runs down the lane.
Giannis do that all the time. What's the problem?
Yeah, well, guess what? He's not Giannis. All right.
So traveling, palming the ball. We've talked about this. Like, if baseball is going to get rid of any kind of rosin or sunscreen, then maybe basketball should just get rid of the Euro step and any kind of palming.
Yeah,
which of course it is. They're both bad.
But real quick, guys. You remember Chris Forsberg was telling he wasn't sure how much of the contract for Al Horford was guaranteed for next year.
It's only
$13 million, so it's about half of his contract, which means you do have some financial flexibility next year.
You get rid of
Kemba's contract.
That's right.
By the way, bringing in Moses Brown, you know what that pretty much means? Taco time.
I know.
Is over.
That's all. That's it. You have your big guy now at the back of the bench. It's not Taco.
You can't have
two guys like that.
Why not? Who cares? All right. Very good.
Well, that would be the first team rule. Who cares, man?
I really actually did this trade.
I'm sensing you don't care about this too much.
I was enjoying the break we were doing. Then I heard there was break, which we did everything correctly. So let me start by saying that.
We
did everything that should have been done. No one did anything wrong. But I was enjoying the break we were doing. Then there was breaking news. And then Forsberg confirmed it. It's basically just moving a bunch of garbage around. I mean, the exciting news.
Except you can get a max player earlier now, and that's huge.
In the
almost a year
unlikely
earlier.
Event that anyone wants to come here, but yes, that is the case. All right, Rich, what's going on?
Well, there is a neat little story that somehow caught fire on social media that turned into a little bit of a head-scratcher by the end of it. So yesterday at around 5 o'clock, or rather 4 o'clock central in the afternoon, there is a gentleman by the name of Lee Sanderlin. Now, Lee Sanderlin writes for some magazines that I don't even really know what they are. I clicked on it. I couldn't tell you what they were. But he said, "I'm coming to you live from a Brandon, Mississippi Waffle House. I, a total loser, came in last place in my fantasy football league. As punishment, I spend 24 hours in a Waffle House. Every waffle I eat shaves an hour off the clock."
Okay, so
7 Central. That's a cool. That's actually a really cool setup.
Devious.
I thought it was a neat thing that they had put together, and I thought in a way, Rich, which I think you probably did too, that the waffle angle made it too easy.
Yep, I thought the same thing. So if you've ever been in a Waffle House before, have you ever seen a Waffle House waffle? They're very simple. It's like a plate, flat. It's not like super thick. And
no, it's not a Belgian waffle. It's a thin waffle.
Yeah. Very thin waffle, goes down smooth. So you go down his timeline, and it starts off pretty funny. You know, he orders two waffles to start. There's kids coming in and out playing the touch tunes. He said he's allowed to go out to the bushes, and at one point he goes out to the bushes, and I don't know whether that was just to blaze up or whether it was to purge, but if it is to purge, that makes things a little stranger in all of this.
What is it with people? And this guy's fat. So he's pretending that he doesn't enjoy eating. What is it about? It was the same thing with that stupid-ass documentary, Supersize Me, that as soon as people, like, have to eat, like, they're like, "Oh, my stomach." Like, this guy goes three waffles in at Waffle House.
Well let's kind of get to the tally. Because, first of all, he starts off all wrong. Because he's got two waffles in front of him and takes a picture of it. And he's loaded them with, like, butter and syrup. Yeah. I'm like, man, if you're trying to get out there, just eat the damn waffle and move on. So at 7 hours in, he has eaten six waffles and says he can't go on anymore. 7 hours, and he's only had six waffles, and he says he feels like he's going to get sick.
If you put two bags of Doritos next to that guy and put on Star Wars, those bags are gone by the end of the movie. And this guy's complaining. These people that say they get sick from food are just lying their asses off. What exactly about that made you sick?
You're telling me you couldn't eat a waffle an hour? This is less than that. This is six waffles in 7 hours. And he's like, "Oh, the pain."
I wouldn't. But and again, ladies and gentlemen, this is a fat man. This isn't like some vegan runner. Like, this is like a fat guy. Like, I just am fascinated how everyone gets so sick. Now, would I want to eat that many waffles? No.
I'll read you what he put. Hello, it's hour 7. Where we stand, 6 waffles consumed, 11 hours remain. Insider in shambles. But 2 kind Mississippians came in and gave me some Rolaids. Shout out to those people. Right. Your boy is in pain.
Should have been dosed with strychnine.
6 waffles in 7 hours?
And by the way,
what?
I would eat so many waffles to get out of that Waffle House that my head would spin. I would eat them, and I would eat them until they were coming out of my ears. Like, if it was, I don't know. I just love fat people I got a stomach on me, and it would be like if I sat there and like, oh, no, I got to have another slice of pizza. Like I might not want to, but it's certainly not going to make me physically ill.
So he ends up finishing things, and he finished it like 2 hours ago. He said, the sun is rising. He stayed there for like overnight, which, by the way, there is a really good guy who I forget what magazine he worked for. It was like one of these Southern Living or something. But he did as like a dare 24 hours in a Waffle House. And they actually made a documentary about it that you can watch online. Not a documentary. It's like a 30-minute show. And he worked for 24 hours in a Waffle House. And it's fantastic. It's like you see the weirdos that come in the middle of the night. But he writes, the sun is rising, it's a new day, and I'm never eating waffles again. That's 9 waffles in 15 hours in this restaurant. Shout out to the staff for letting me hang out on a slow night. This was horrible, and I recommend no one ever do this. Dude, you couldn't take 9 waffles in 15 hours?
If you're getting that sick from eating 9 waffles, I'm being dead serious. In 15 hours, you got to go to the doctor. Because in 15 hours, that gentleman eats more food than that. If you're getting physically ill, like how often does your stomach hurt? Like, not that often. I mean, I get it a lot, but I got a thing happening with me. You gotta go to the doctor. If your stomach is hurting just from eating waffles, I mean, you're not healthy.
So there are times, Fred, where like we had on Jay King, who tried to do that like nugget. Remember that challenge? It was like,
yeah,
you had to eat like 4 Big Macs and like nuggets and fries, stuff like that. Where I totally understand that.
I could never do that.
Yeah, eyes bigger than your stomach. No matter what you say, you couldn't eat that whole deal. This is not one of those times. Like, you would be able to kill these waffles.
No.
At least you'd be able to do at least 1 an hour. At least 1 an hour.
Now, I wouldn't want to, and I would have to force myself, and I would get sick of it. But I certainly wouldn't get ill.
No.
Like, I wouldn't get, like, sick to my stomach unless you're poisoned. And I got something wrong with me. And I wouldn't get sick from doing that.
So like, is he washing each waffle down with a soda? I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I don't care if
doing.
He had. I have 4-3 sodas a morning in here. Big deal. I just everyone gets so sick from food. It's like, what's wrong with your stomach?
Like, someone said you guys are severely underestimating the density of a Waffle House waffle. Like, I've never had a Waffle House waffle. I lived off Waffle House.
You know how many times at 6 in the morning I was watching the sunrise? You know how many? You know what is talk about not getting sick? You know how many times I've been probably close to legally dead drunk in a Waffle House eating that garbage? Please don't know enough about Waffle Houses.
Someone said he's lying about getting sick. Just stop eating and sit there and wait. I mean, it's true. It's like, you why are you getting sick? Just sit there and wait.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't eat till you feel okay.
I don't get the getting sick part. I really don't. Like, I don't understand. You're fat. Like, what do you just, you're fat for no reason? Like, you're one of these guys that's just fat because you never eat anything bad? Fred, why do you have a stomach on you? I don't know. I eat bad food. I don't know. Like I'm not 300 pounds because I, like, stop eating after the second slice. But, I mean, like, I get it.
Sure.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, anything else quickly?
So Peyton Manning has kind of been the guy. Everyone's been going after him as far as being the next John Gruden, the guy in the booth, the next Tony Romo, if you will. And he has continued to say, nope, 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 except he might be about to nod his head yes, because it looks like Amazon has come after him. You know, Amazon is going to start getting a bunch of games. Thursday Night Football, that package is where it's going to be starting. Is that next year? Begins next year, doesn't it, John?
Yes.
Where they end up getting the package?
Yes.
So it sounds like Amazon right now could offer him, without even having a season under his belt, more than Tony Romo money, which means more than the 10-year, $180 million contract that Romo signed with CBS in order to get Manning on board.
What misplaced money in that, like, you're no more likely to watch a game with Peyton Manning calling it than you are not, or nor Tony Romo.
I think there's a large faction that will.
Well,
I think that he might be one guy. I don't want to say it's worth that money, but one guy that might be worth breaking the bank
he
for.
He is huge in Indianapolis and in Knoxville, so that
he
is
doesn't
big.
Have that electric personality. But, maybe for
listen,
a couple
talking
of
about
he'll be good. He'll be good at it. That's not my point. You know that, Rich. It's not that he's not going to be good at it. What I would invest all my money in is the pre and post game shows. Because then you need personality and you need a reason to watch. I'm talking about these mega contracts. I'm talking about the ridiculous amount of money Tony Romo makes. That I think the guys that do pre and post are the ones that should be making that money. If you can hang, if you can get a Sunday Night Football audience to tune in an hour early to see the show, that's where the money's at. The game's the game. You're going to get a huge audience for your game if you have me calling it.
The only thing I would say to that, Fred, is you might be right that it might not benefit as much. Although I used to watch Monday Night Football games that I didn't care about just because of Gruden.
Also, there was a work reason for it, too.
Partly work, but I actually legitimately, back in the day, would enjoy watching him call the game because he was such a spaz.
Right.
But the one thing about Peyton Manning is that he won't ruin the broadcast. And
no.
If you're trying to launch, like, right off the bat, having a big name is obviously good. Having somebody that you know isn't going to screw it up is even better. And working for a company like Amazon that has all the money in the world to spend for whoever they want, it seems like this is something that might happen.
Yeah, he'll be good. He's very good. He's comfortable on television, and he's, you know, lame dad witty enough for his, everyone, and
his,
like,
Q rating's got to be like super high too, just judging by the amount of commercials he does.
Sure. And so there's all that. I just, if I spend all that money for the NFL, everything I want is to keep the audience around as long as I can before and after the game.
Yeah.
But then again, I don't run these things. If I did, you'd spend the same amount of money. I'd just spend it in different places. My pregame show would be must-see television. I'd have all kinds of craziness happening over there, all kinds of idiots running around. All right, I got to go do something here at the station. All right, you gentlemen, enjoy your weekend. That'll do it for us. Everyone, have a great day and weekend. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.